Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky. Today we have Shandell Symes, who's from Ottawa, Canada, who wrote a beautiful, beautiful article for the Jewish Action, What Does God Want of Me Now? And a courageous journey. And we're going to talk about a very inspirational story. How are you, Shandell? How's everything?
Baruch Hashem, good. Coming along.
That's good, good, good. So some of the people who are listening, I'm sure, will remember that a little while back, maybe about a year ago, I interviewed Rabbi Symes, and the story of what happened to Rabbi Symes and his terrible accident, his car accident, is pretty well known at this point. He suffered a traumatic spinal cord injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a Rebbe in Ottawa, in Hillel Academy. And a lot of things have happened in their life. They are a source of inspiration. So I guess it's hard. Is it hard to be an inspirational person? Do you think people look at you now differently than they ever did before?
There are times when I definitely feel that I'm looked at differently as before. And when you put it that way, then it is hard to be the source of somebody's inspiration, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm just trying to be the best me that I can and go about my day as best as I can and to do the things that I need to do. And really, I just feel like I was put in this position and I have to do the best that I can.
So, and this is because I really just think so many people are going to listen to this and try to gain something, which is what I think is so important here. I mean,
right.
I'm sure that there are times when you said, and maybe still say, and I understand it completely,
right.
Why me?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with those times?
What do you do at those times? Okay, I think for me, to rephrase the question, it wasn't more so much as why me, but I don't remember signing up for this. And I remember at times thinking, I didn't raise my hand and say, pick me, pick me. And it's taken a long time. I think it's only recently where I've started telling myself, well, if I am signed up for this, then I've always said I want to give it the best shot that I had, but it's only now that I feel like more confident in that role, that this is my role and this is what I'm doing now. And I don't understand why this position was given to me. I don't understand why Hashem felt that I was able to do this. But I think as you become more accepting of the situation you're in, which takes a long time, and you learn more about the situation and you discover more strengths that lie within you, then there's some days where you feel like, oh, I got this, I can do this. And then there are days which are, harder, where you say, well, what was I thinking? But then you have to look back at the days where you were able to do it and say, well, if I did it then, I'm going to keep going forward and I'll have to do it somewhere.
I mean, the concept of being grateful, you see people who have so much and yet they're never grateful, and you see people who have very little and are always grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that happen? I mean, what do you have to look at things differently, or change your attitude, or what do you do?
It comes to a recognition of, because of the situation that we've been in, and there have been times we've had some very close calls, in the last 3 years, from the very accident itself, and we've had certain medical situations where my husband was quite ill and spent several times in the ICU. And then you start to realize that life is just so fragile. Life, you're just really so vulnerable. And for us, it's all been about, keeping the family as together and as wholesome as we possibly could under these situations and under these circumstances, and to just take things step by step, one day at a time, and just to kind of look at the big picture and to just say, you know what? The things that matter, we do have. We have our home, we have our family, we have our friends, we have our support. And everything else will happen as it will, but it's up to us to keep the important things and to hold on to those things which we want the kids to remember this home as a happy home. We want them to remember and to be part of a home that's happy and a home that we feel like we're grateful for what we have. And we have an Abba, and Abba is home, and Abba is, you know, grateful for the things that he can do. He's lost a lot. There's many things that he can't do, but we have Abba, and that's really what counts. That's really what's important.
Right. Now, I know from the time that I actually spoke to him about a year ago, there's been, you know, I mean, a lot of different things that he can do, improvement. So I'm sure people who listen to the original interview, what are some of the things that Rabbi Symes could do now that he probably couldn't do a year ago?
Okay. See, that you're making me think, and you're making me to stop now and pay attention to things that maybe we've gotten used to, or maybe to things that we've gotten so accustomed to that he couldn't have done a year ago, and now he's been doing them for a while that I, you know, he could almost forget that
right.
he wasn't
which
doing
is, which,
them a
which
year
is
ago.
Good. Which is
yeah,
great,
which
by
is
the way.
Good, and it's actually a good thing to stop and think. You know, the things that we take for granted now, we weren't taking for granted a year ago. Some of the big things that have happened, you know, there's day-to-day, his strength has improved, his physical health overall has improved, which for us that's important. I don't know if it's hard to count that as a success, let's say, you know, in, you know, the scheme of, you know, ambitions in the world, but for something, some big things that have happened to him are that he's been able to travel, which is really quite accomplishment considering what it takes to plan a trip for him to go somewhere, what it takes for him that he needs a caregiver once we get to where we're going. So we often, you know, the times we've gone, we've actually brought our own caregiver with us, and just the change in routine, the change of schedule, but that's not so good for him, so we have to pretty much stick to his routine and his schedule no matter where we go. So we had that opportunity where he was able to go to Rochester, New York, and he was able to give a talk there. We were in Queens, New York for my sister's chasana, which was a tremendous milestone. The fact that our entire family, you know, all of my siblings with their spouses and their kids and our whole family were all at that simcha. It's my youngest sister that got married, and to think that we were able to be in that, to be at that simcha was just unbelievable, unbelievable. And most recently, my husband actually gave a talk for COR in Toronto. So these are all things which you would have asked us a year ago, could we see ourselves doing it? Well, it was always, you know, a goal that we'd get further than our own house. You know, we've heard stories before from people, you know, in the rehab center, say, or from the, you know, the doctors that, yeah, sure, people with spinal cord injuries can go places, but it just seems so daunting, and we just, we're not ready for it, you know, either emotionally or physically, and to think that that's something that he can do. You know, it does take a lot out of him. There is recuperation time. There's a lot of planning involved before. It's not something that he can do all the time or often, but it's a possibility out there. And the chizuk that gives him is incredible. The chizuk and the feedback that it, you know, gives our family, and how proud everybody and grateful everybody is that he's able to do that, from within the family, from with our community.
Right.
It's just a snowball effect that just gives you the chizuk and the courage to keep going.
That's great. That's really great. So now he teaches, right, in the yeshiva there, right, doesn't he?
So he was teaching in the day school there, and he was teaching at Torah High, you know, the after school, you know, NCSY program. Now he's giving a Parsha share. He's giving a Chumash share on Mondays, and that's his, you know, big share right now. And that's, you know, it's for adults now. He's veered off a little bit. He's not in the actual classroom now, and he's enjoying his share. He's loving it. He loves to prepare for it. It gives him a real satisfaction to deal with adults now. And we have to just take that as it comes.
So the share is for adults. It's not for the kids in the school?
That's right. He's not at the school right now.
Oh, I got you. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And where does he give this?
So he gives it at the JCC. And it's in conjunction with JET, Jewish Education Through Torah, which is the Kiruv organization here.
Sure.
And it's a lunch and learn. It's a lunch and learn. People come with their lunch and they learn. And it's, you know, pretty popular, and I know he gets a lot of good feedback from it.
Very, very nice. That's great. Now, do you work also? Or?
I do work. I'm a teacher. And before the accident, I was teaching 10 hours a week, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. The very first year after the accident, I took off that year. Last year, I was teaching 2 hours once a week, and now I've increased to 3 times a week, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there. I'm teaching Monday through Wednesday mornings, and that just gives me time to take care of things that are still going on at home. There's still extensive therapies and planning and appointments and things like that, which have to leave mm-hmm. me with a little bit more flexibility.
And I read that you've moved into a new home, right?
Baruch Hashem, that also is a major, major milestone.
Okay.
The home that, yeah.
Well, what is
very
it?
Very like accessible now.
It's a one-level wheelchair accessible. That's what it is, I mean?
It's not a one-level home. It is a traditional, there is more than one level. There's a two floors and there's a basement. Mm-hmm. But the first floor is open concept. So my husband can get around to every single room on his own. His room, our room is downstairs as well, and washroom is downstairs, living room, dining room, kitchen. It was a long time until, the whole family was actually able to sit around one table at the same time and, sit in the dining room on Shabbos and see the Shabbos candles, because our home previously was a split level, and our dining room was upstairs. The only room that was accessible to my husband was our room and the family room. And we just relocated everyone into the family room. That's where we ate. That's where we played. That's where we talked. That's where we sat. That's where everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now, he's able to be a part of everything. And it's wonderful. It has a landscaped ramping in front, so he can get, in and out easier. We're in the process now. One of the projects is getting some kind of a door system where he can operate the door on his own.
Right.
So he can come and go from shul on his own, as opposed to the other night when I didn't realize he was home and he was just waiting outside for somebody to open the door for him to come home. So that's one thing. And he does have, we did actually install an elevator for him to get to the basement, so he could have a study. A computer room, and, if he wants to, continue with Shiram, if he would want to do it at home. So there's a home study office or therapy room for him as well.
Now, did you stay in the same area, same community, or did you move?
Yeah, no, we're in the same community. We're in the Nepean section, the Craig Henry section of Ottawa.
Right.
And our shul is called Beth Tikva of Ottawa, and whereas before we were in the backyard, we were around the corner backyard from the shul, we were able to go from our backyard, cut across an open lot to shul, now we're around the corner the other way. So it was important for us to stay within our community. We have so many good friends here who've really an emotional support for us. We really wanted to stay here. Oh. And Baruch Hashem, we were able to get a home very close by. It was, when we told realtors what we were looking for, they told us it was going to be practically impossible to find what we were looking for so close to a synagogue. But Baruch Hashem,
That's really, really great. So
yeah.
It sounds like you're kind of trying to putting everything together and trying to make life as normal as possible. It can't be as what was before, obviously, but trying to make your children have a happy home, a home
mm-hmm.
where you can still laugh, and that's a great that's a great thing. And that is a very uplifting experience, because I think so many times I see people who have so much, and the slightest thing that throws off that perfect world becomes a reason to say, forget about it, I don't know why God's doing this to me, and so on. And you just say, look around, look what you have. I mean, how could you not be grateful for what you have? And I mean, and you see people who are inspirational people, and you have to say, I guess, you can't say it, but I could say it, is that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts people in this world to teach different lessons to everybody. And obviously this was a lesson to teach everybody else about their faith and their emunah. And, it's really remarkable, and it's really fantastic. And I'm glad that we have a chance to talk about it on my program and have people read about it have a message for people who are out there. I mean, what kind of message would you give? Someone asked you, I'm sure they do. What kind of message do you give them?
I think really you have to recognize one thing this has taught us is that we're not in control. As much as we like to have control and we like to be in control and we like to plan out all stages and phases of our lives and what's going to happen to us, it's really so not in our hands. It really has not, you know, it has very little, you know, we have very little say in all of that. But if we recognize that what we have is what we need, and what we have is what is going to bring us to better places. You know, if you would have asked me 3 years ago if I thought I would be in a better place today than I would have been without it, I would have thought for sure I would be. But I'm seeing in myself changes, and I'm recognizing in myself certain qualities that I might not have tapped into before. Relationships between my husband and my kids and my family that have really deepened and become so much more important and because of what we've been through together. So if we recognize how much, you know, Hashem is in control of everything, and if you look at, you know, the different pieces and the different parts of the puzzle, and if you would try to get the pieces together on your own, it would boggle your mind. I think it's beyond the human mind to understand how any of this works. If you think how each thing that happened to me happened at a time that was good for me, and it happened to my husband at the same time that it was good for him, and he needed that, and I needed this, and my kids needed this, and the people around me needed something else. To think of all those wheels and all those gears that are interconnected, how Hashem lined them up, it would boggle your mind. So there has to be that Hashem is involved, because we couldn't have made it work any other way.
You mean just everything that happened to just put it together?
Yeah, all the pieces to make everything happen and to make everything get to this point, and to, you know, the things that have come from it and the people we had met and the people that were at the right place at the right time and just all the little details that are involved. We couldn't have done that on our own. It has to be that there's a bigger plan. There's something. You know, Hashem is out there looking and saying that there's a plan out there, and we're part of that plan, whatever the whole overall picture is. Yeah,
right,
we're just pieces of the gear.
So there's a big plan, and we're all little components in that plan, and we've got to take the part we have, and that's what we have to do. Just deal with
the part
that we have and make the best of it and appreciate it and look at everything else. Listen, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. And I, you know, you're such an optimistic person. It's great to talk to you,
yes.
Just to hear, you know, to hear you and to understand what you've been through. And I'm reading the article. I'm reading about how you're looking forward to say that point to the Shabbos being what it was with all those guests coming and when your husband made Kiddush, how beautiful it is now. And
right.
I guess who appreciates a Kiddush on a Friday night when someone makes a Kiddush on a Friday night? Who appreciates it and thinks, you know, all you're thinking about is, I don't think this wine tastes so good anymore. It used to be better. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Like, you know, like it's, you know, maybe we bought the wrong kind or something like that or whatever. And now what you're really looking at is what Kiddush is all about.
Right.
So it's really incredible. And I'm so happy that I have a chance to talk to you, because I think after speaking to your husband and reading about, you know, what happened and knowing people up in the Ottawa community, which is a beautiful community, by the way. People should know it's an absolutely gorgeous community up there. Really, really beautiful. We spent a beautiful Shabbos, my wife and I, there. It was really fantastic. And so we enjoyed it. But, okay, listen, Shangel, it's great
Thank
talking
you so
to you.
Much.
And I thank you for this opportunity to give
me an appreciation to see, how, you know, to look back and see how far we've come. And I feel hopeful for the future that if we've gotten this far, that Amat Hashem will continue to go further and reach many more milestones.
And I know you will. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.